T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Doing work and, you know, taking a walk around the block. But there are a lot of people who are working at home who say that the hostility from bosses has picked up, because at this stage, the employment situation, which was so great for the worker, I mean, you could walk out the door and they'd be begging you to come back because they needed workers back in February and March. By the time April arrived, oh, the tables had turned, and now your employer knows that you probably need the job. We'll talk about how the socially distanced workplaces are causing some problems out there. Right now, Dr. Bob Holsworth, who runs Decide Smart here in Virginia, is back with us. And Dr. Holsworth, I appreciate you coming on. I saw the story about Mayor Bloomberg, or the former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, saying he's prepared to spend $100 million to make sure that Florida goes for Joe Biden and not for Donald Trump. This guy's got, I mean, this is beyond just rich for him to be able to blow that much money. And we know he spent a lot of money in Virginia in the last election cycle. Did anybody ever calculate that up, how much he spent in Virginia?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly in the last election cycle, but I remember the previous cycle. He spent almost, I think, $750,000 in 2 state Senate races here.
Wow.
So that was essentially on the gun control issue, you might recall, where it may have worked relatively well in a Northern Virginia case, but probably didn't work so well. You might recall in Powhatan County, in the race in which Glenn Sturdivant was running against Dan Gekka there. So he's going to spend $100 million in Florida. The Biden campaign has not spent very much money in Florida up to date. And there's a real concern that in Florida, the Trump campaign has done extremely well in terms of ads, in terms of Spanish language advertisements and the like. And so this is trying to play catch up for the Democrats in Florida, because this is such a huge state, John, because really, if Joe Biden was able to capture Florida, and I actually think I'd give Trump, I'd say, is a slight favorite there. Mm-hmm. If Biden was able to capture Florida, he'd probably only need to win one or two other of these toss-up states to be the president. So Florida is absolutely essential, and I think the Democrats have become a little worried that they're playing catch-up in Florida, particularly in South Florida, and that the arguments that the president has been making about the Democrats being socialist and left-leaning has caught on in a significant part of the Latino community, particularly, historically the Cuban-related population there. But there's also a sense that Biden is not doing well with Latino community as they had expected previously. And we've seen people like Julian Castro and others criticize the Biden campaign. So Bloomberg's money is an attempt to play catch up. I don't like all this money that goes into these campaigns, but it's almost impossible to stop, John. You know, what's crazy about it, of course, is that if you want to give as an individual to a campaign, you're limited on a federal election, to a very relatively small amount in the few thousands of dollars.
What is it now? $3,800? Was it $2,800?
I think it's even less, John, than that. I think it's around $3,000. I should know the exact amount. But you give to that in a general election. You could also give to that primary. However, if you want to give to one of these PACs or you want to form a PAC, you can give $100 million. It's almost an absurd system. It is an absurd system.
I mean, that is a pretty remarkable disparity between what the average citizen can do and then someone like Michael Bloomberg. You know, if you're going to put the restrictions on it, then why does he get to spend that kind of money and somebody else who's really motivated, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the court, basically, there's been these legal decisions that have said that, you know, you really can't prevent people from engaging in free speech with their money. But at the same time, you can put restrictions on the amount somebody can give to an individual campaign.
Right.
But the loopholes are so large is that those restrictions have become simply meaningless.
When I talked to Tim Murtaugh, the communications director for President Trump's campaign, it wasn't this week, but the week before, about how Virginia looks, I don't want to put words in his mouth. He did not concede Virginia at all. But I think, to paraphrase, he said, you know, there's some other states we're focusing on. And you do a very good job of tracking all of the various polls that come out publicly about these races. A, how do you think Donald Trump is doing in Virginia, better or worse than last time, whether he's going to win Virginia or not? And what's your assessment of how that does to the down-ballot races from Daniel Gade running for Senate or, you know, Nick Freitas running against Abigail Spanberger in the 7th?
Yeah, I don't think Gade has much of a chance. I think that Trump is not going to win Virginia, largely because he's so unpopular in northern Virginia and some of the metropolitan areas. And the real question, of course, is that what does that do for these three congressional seats, particularly the two seats the Republicans are trying to grab from the Democrats, which is the Spanberger seat in the 7th District and the Luria seat in the 2nd District. And I think what Freitas would be hoping would be that Trump would make an appearance in the district. But, you know, if the president is worried about his own reelection and is simply focusing on the battleground states, that makes it more difficult for him to come in and to try to generate a turnout for Freitas in particular if he really is not focusing on Virginia. So that's probably what the Republicans are a little anxious about in that race, because what they know about that district is that it has trended Republican consistently. Mm-hmm. And so what they want is they really want a straight ticket vote there. They want Trump Freitas, and they want somebody energizing the Trump vote. And that's the one question, or I think a source of considerable anxiety among the Republicans, especially because Freitas has been at a financial disadvantage compared to Spanberger. And they're going to want to try to do something. So maybe the president will come in. Maybe we'll see Vice President Pence. But I think the Republicans would like to see a high-profile person come in to help the fundraising for Freitas in that seat, which they find so important.
I get a lot of emails every day from people who are saying, John, ask this, ask this, especially when you get Democrats on the show. And to his credit, Donald McEachin did come on a couple of weeks ago. You know, we've had Leon Benjamin on a few times, and Donald McEachin did come on. So that contradicts what I'm about to ask you, if I'm being honest. But there's this story out there that a lot of Democrats have made the decision not to do joint appearances and to cut back on any potentially hostile interviews that could give them, I hate to say it, the macaca moment that takes them from being in the lead, like George Allen was at one point, remember back when I was working for him in the Senate, and then plummeting in the polls and ultimately losing. What's your assessment of that? Do you think that's correct or not?
Well, I just don't like that. You know, I mean, that's even, you know, a further enhancement of what we're seeing in sort of the polarization of the politics. You know, that it's bad enough that most of us simply only watch the channels that, you know, confirm our point of view. But now when you have the politicians only going on those channels that confirm their point of view and not putting up with, you know, hostile interviews or what I would just call adversarial interviews or tough interviews, that's really a problem. You know, I'll give a counter example of this. Years ago when I was teaching, John, I got a call from Congressman Scott, who often ran unopposed at the time. And he said, you know, I want to come into your class, he said, to get some tough questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, you know, I want to get some students who are going to give me some tough questions because I'm not getting them out there. And I thought, you know, that was a pretty remarkable phone call.
No kidding. The kids don't know to be polite or to you know, to worry about their next job or that kind of thing, right?
Right. So, but by and large, that's what you want to see. Mm-hmm. For example, I think, I've been talking about this first debate with Chris Wallace because, the president went on there and got quite the examination from Chris Wallace on Sunday morning, but Joe Biden didn't. But so this will be, the only opportunity that you might say that Chris Wallace will have a chance to question Joe Biden. And he is one of the toughest questioners, imaginable. Yeah. In politics today. So by and large, I think, the public suffers when, politicians now just pick the shows that they're going to go on because they know they're unlikely to get, really tough questions and get softball questions. And then all it does is that it continues the situation where everyone's just watching things that confirm what they already believe. Right.
Well, I think the Democrats who've come on our show have handled themselves relatively well. I mean, the ultimate conclusions they reach about whether they vote yay or nay on legislation, I would probably disagree, but I haven't had anybody just bomb out and, of course, I'm not trying to put a hand grenade in their lap.
Yeah, you don't do that. You're going to ask tough questions. We've worked together for probably 30 years in some ways over time. And you're going to ask tough questions. You're going to be upfront with them. And why not try to handle that? I mean, that's what politics is about, is trying to appeal to everybody, not just the people in your base.
Yeah. We'll see if they come on. We're extending the invitations now. And, that's where the rubber hits the road, is talking to the public. Bob Holdsworth, Dr. Bob Holdsworth, with Decide Smart here in Richmond. Thank you. I'm always happy to talk to you.
You take good care, John. Have a good day.
Thank you. 717, back with more in just a moment. News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.